Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, as we continue on this Friday night, taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. We want to hear from you. Join us online at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Always talking to one of our favorite guests, that is Steve Wartstein from Fox Sports New Mexico. We're doing a full recap on Super Bowl 49, and it is time now. I want to get your view of Tom Brady, Steve. I mean, he solidifies his legacy with his fourth Super Bowl win in Super Bowl 49. Just your take on him.
Well, I've always avoided the argument on my show and about, oh, who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Because inevitably it always turns into an argument.
Is it Brady? Is it Montana?
Mm-hmm. It always turns into an argument between fans. And I will say this about Brady, you know, and when you compare Brady and Montana, I think this is where the comparison is second to none. Montana had Rice. Montana had Taylor. Montana had Dwight Clark. Montana had great receivers throughout much of his career. He also had arguably one of the better running backs in Super Bowl era, in Roger Craig. He had Tom Rathbun in that backfield. And he had Bill Walsh, who was an offensive-minded genius. You have Tom Brady, who didn't come in with all the hype and hyperbole that Montana did when he came into the NFL. And arguably, who have been his best wide receivers outside of Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski? This is a quarterback who's gotten it done with average receivers at best. Brandon LaFell, really? I mean, I think when you look at the history, when we go back in history, you'll see the numbers, and then they'll argue, okay, well, Brady had this many touchdowns, Montana had this many touchdowns. Okay, but take Jerry Rice away from San Francisco, and how many touchdowns does Joe Montana have? Take John Taylor, take Dwight Clark out of all those games. How many of those touchdowns are really there? I mean, I think when you look at these two quarterbacks side by side, it's important to also know, you know, who they were throwing the ball to. And when you look at Brady's two wins also, two of these four wins that he had, or even two of the Super Bowls he had, you know, there's the New York Giants catch, David Tyree, the incredible catch here a few years ago against the Giants. Mm-hmm. There's the catch that Jermaine Kearse makes that puts Seattle in a position to win the game. I mean, they almost lose those Super Bowls, whereas San Francisco, blowout win against Dallas, blowout win against Denver. They beat teams that they were so fundamentally better than that, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Joe Montana, but I think you have to look at Tom Brady's line of work here, his body of work, and I think his numbers not only stack up better from a statistical angle, but from a personnel angle, they were better games, I think, than the games that San Francisco had and Joe Montana had.
Steve Wartstein from Fox Sports New Mexico joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line, talking about and his view of Tom Brady. Did you believe, though, that he was a Super Bowl, the MVP?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he threw 50 passes in the game. He was 36, I believe, completions. He's the MVP of the game. I understand Malcolm Butler makes the interception. I understand Julian Edelman with the touchdown at the end of the game.
Right.
But for the first two touchdowns of that game, for the first two quarters when they scored those two touchdowns, and then that last drive, that's an MVP performance. To me, it was a no brainer. I don't even entertain the discussion of Edelman or Butler, the guy who makes the interception there. It's Tom Brady, because the most valuable player is the guy who wins the game for you, and Tom Brady won that game for New England.
Okay, so let's step back here. Let's talk about Deflategate. Let's just give me a quick hit on that. I mean, it obviously dominated the Patriots coverage prior to the Super Bowl. I mean, does Super Bowl 49, does it come with an asterisk because of that and because of Deflategate?
Absolutely not, because if that was going to come with an asterisk, then I would entertain the argument that you would go back and look at hundreds of football games that have been played over the years since the NFL has had that policy in place, that they look at the footballs 2.5 hours before the game, they sign off on them, and then they leave them with the quarterbacks. They leave them with those teams up until game time. If this had been an issue in week 6 of the regular season between two lousy teams like Jacksonville and Tennessee, and I'm certainly not trying to disparage people who are listening in Jacksonville or Tennessee this evening, but it wouldn't have mattered. No one would have been talking about this issue. But because it's Tom Brady, and because New England, is that team that people love to hate on, naturally we made a big deal out of it. And it turns out the NFL even admitted earlier this week that there might have been only one of the 11 allegedly bad footballs that was really bad after all. And, you know, the most we got out of this was videotape of a guy walking into a bathroom carrying footballs. The National Football League should have more videotape evidence on this. And that goes back to this issue. It goes back to Ray Rice. It's just a myriad of really silly decisions, and it was a much ado about nothing, and it should never, ever be talked about again.
Okay, we're quickly running out of time. Give me a quick hit on the Browns, the situation that they're under, Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel.
Josh Gordon, it's unfortunate. I think the Browns are going to be done with him. Johnny Manziel, I think they have a business decision to make. I understand you want to see him do well. You want to see him recover from whatever it is that he's in rehab for. But from a business standpoint, if you're the Cleveland Browns organization, you want him to do well. But do you want him to do well while you're paying for it at the same time? I think the Browns have to look at that issue. I think they have a justifiable reason to be worried about Johnny Manziel. Because what happens, even if he goes through rehab and does well, but then he screws up somewhere down the road, they're the ones footing the bill on that. And as far as I'm concerned, from a business standpoint, you know, there's one strike too many. And it might be the first strike for Johnny Manziel.
What, and the Browns used a first-round draft pick on the most polarizing player.
Yeah, well, and it goes to show again that first-round draft picks don't always work out well. Sometimes it's the third round pick. Sometimes it's the fourth round pick. And sometimes you have to be leery of guys with that much hype and that much bad information around them. Kevin Sumlin earlier this week was on Fox Sports and said, you know, that maybe we could have done things differently. That leads me to believe that they knew he was a problem child. They knew what they were getting into with him. And maybe they could have done things differently, and maybe teams should have been more aware of what they were getting into with Johnny Manziel.
Hey, Steve Bortstein with us about another minute at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Talk to me about USC and how things turned out. It seems like all is alive and well with your Trojans after National Signing Day.
Yeah, it was a banner day. Depending on which recruiting service you subscribe to, they were either first, second, or third in the nation as far as recruiting classes are concerned. And it's nice. First year back under no sanctions any longer. They're still going to be a little bit short as far as the numbers they can put on the field. I think they're still going to be around 75. And, you know, recruiting classes are great and good numbers there, but it has to prove itself on the field. I think the number of defensive players they came up with are fantastic, and hopefully they'll work out well, and hopefully USC is back in its rightful place someday, competing for a national championship.
Well, thankfully.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, USC finally, as you're talking about, that full allotment of scholarships and able to put together a very special roster. Steve Bortstein has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, taking us through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Always does an outstanding job. And Steve-O, we look forward to talking some college basketball here in the next few months. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Much more straight ahead. Stay close at YSR.